A couple of weeks ago, we began a brand new series called Moving from Fear to Faith. It's based in Exodus 14 and from this little book, Red Sea Rules. It's dealing with 10 principles or strategies of how we can move from fear to faith, how we can move from panic to praise. We still have a few copies of this book left, so if you want one, just let us know and we'll give them away till they're all gone. But since today is Mother's Day, we want to do something a little different. So next Sunday, we'll be returning to our series and looking at Red Sea Rule number 5 and 6. But this morning, I've asked Natalie Radcliffe to join me up here. And those of you who don't know Natalie, Natalie is the children's pastor, the kids' pastor here at Bethany Church, and she's a mom. She and her husband, Harold, have 3 boys, Boston, Ketcher, and Beckett. And Natalie became our children's pastor on January the 1st of this year and was really just getting adjusted and settling in right in the middle of March. That pandemic hit, quarantine set in, and we transitioned to online ministry and services only due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So these past 8 weeks, Natalie's been doing kids ministry online. So Natalie, what's it been like, and what have you been doing during this time?
It's been a big change. We've been doing weekly live family worship experiences. I've been able to do Zoom calls throughout the week so I can connect with the kids. We have fun family challenges and activities and things to kind of grow the children throughout this uncertain time. It's actually been really neat to be able to do this and have parents be a part of it with me being new. I can get to know them and they can get to know me a little bit better throughout this online time.
So that's been a little bit of a silver lining in all this going on. And I got to tell you, your online stuff is really good. Watching it and it's a lot of fun and really appreciate what you've been doing online and we're continuing to do. But you're also a mom. And so during this time, we know that moms have stay at home. They've been staying at home and working from home. And along with that, they're homeschooling. They're keeping their families going. And we know that you've been doing all those things too. So what's that been like?
Ooh, it's, it changes day to day. I think like other moms out there, some days you feel really accomplished. You feel really good about everything. And then the next day you forget to even have your kids brush their teeth because there's so many things going on, but I think we just take it a day at a time, and you know, sometimes our will doesn't get done, but God's will get done when you turn that focus.
One thing I'm always reminded on Mother's Day is that moms are real heroes too. And during this time, we've been reminded that healthcare workers, frontline workers, nurses are real heroes. And moms are heroes. And Natalie, we're so excited to have you here at Bethany Church. And I couldn't think of anyone better to speak on Mom's Day than you. And we're so happy you're here. Let me pray for you. I'm anxious to hear what you have to share with us. Let's pray. Father, we do continue to lift up all moms on this special Mother's Day. We're worshiping at home and it's been a little different, a little more stress and pressure that comes on families and particularly moms during this time. We continue to pray for your blessings during them. We pray for our kids' ministry here at Bethany Church and how we can already sense what you're doing. And we're looking so much forward to the future and the great things that are going to be taking place here at Bethany Church as we reach future generations. And this morning, we're excited to hear from a mom that's doing ministry too. And I pray your blessing will be upon Natalie, her family, your protection over them. And especially as she shares with us from your word today, would you speak to all of our hearts? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When the world shut down, she jumped into action. Normal was redefined.
And now the class of 2020, Johnny Harrison.
But she wouldn't let obstacles get in the way of our dreams. Her creativity found a way to make the impossible possible.
Some preliminary numbers.
While taking care of business, she was taking care of life.
Today I'm going to be showing you how to cut boys' hair at home.
She saw a dump truck load of lemons and made the best lemonade ever. In a moment, her living room became a classroom. She stood in the path of an approaching enemy and said, "Not my family. Not this time." Never have we needed those attributes more. And Mom, you've met the challenge. For all you've done, thank you.
Well, good morning. You know, no matter what stage of motherhood you're in, I think that you can relate to the concept of multitasking, right? You've got a baby on one hip while you're doing sight words with another kid. You're trying to make dinner while you're talking to your teenager about all of the drama with their friends. Or maybe you're trying to clean the house and you're on the phone with your adult child giving advice to them about their children. I'm a mom myself, and I can say that in a given day, there are 100 things to accomplish. And now, on top of all the tasks that we already do, we're in this unprecedented time where we are also distance learning with our children. And I can say, and I think I speak for a lot of us, I'm unqualified for that. A few days ago, my second grader asked me to help him with something called a Eulerian path. I have never gotten my phone out so quickly to ask Siri a question. It was overwhelming. And here, I'm just talking about the tasks. What about the expectations? Does anyone else feel constantly weighed down by the expectations that we have as mothers? There's expectations from society. Should I breastfeed? Should I bottle feed? Should I stay at home or should I work outside of the home? My child is behind in math. I must not be doing enough. My teenager is struggling making bad choices. Is that because of me? And then because social media is great, but with social media comes that keeping up with the Joneses mentality and those expectations. We see this mom over here who's making these amazing homemade arts and crafts and a full course meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I went through the drive-thru for the third time this week. I must not be as good a mom as her. And all of that trickles down into the expectations that we have for ourselves because we're our own harshest critic. We are often holding ourselves to a standard of perfection that we can never hope to obtain, when really we should be holding ourselves to a standard of grace. But we've taken this concept of grace and we've wrapped it up as this gift that we give to others. We give to our spouses, our kids, our friends, but for some reason, we just can't give it to ourselves. And what happens when all of these tasks and expectations pile up on us is that we're getting our priorities messed up a little bit. We're focusing on what the world expects from us, but what that means is that we're depending on the world to tell us our priorities and not God. Now, I think that it's for everybody. I know I keep saying moms, but really this concept applies to everyone. Dads are staying at home too. Grandparents are helping out a lot with these schools being closed. All of us can relate to this concept of expectations and tasks piling on and we lose sight. To talk about this, I want to look at two sisters today, Mary and Martha, so that we can discuss shifting those priorities in our lives in general, but especially in our parenting. So at this time in Scripture, Jesus is taking his final journey to Jerusalem, where he will be arrested and taken to the cross. And him and the disciples stop in a town called Bethany. And so if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Now, it's easy to read this and see from the outside what Martha should be doing. You see her running around and you think, stop, you're missing it. But how often has that been us? Running from task to task and thinking that you have to make everything perfect. Because here's the thing, we are living in a Martha world. We are living in a task-oriented, perfection-driven society where the world's priorities are often outweighing God's. And let me say, being organized and task-driven and hospitable, those aren't bad things. We need to be Martha's sometimes, and thank goodness that we are. Those are all good traits to have, but when we let that overshadow the priority, that's when we start to miss it. That's when we start to miss what is best because we're focusing on what is good. And now we have Mary, and Mary's just sitting and listening, and she's being present in the moment that she has with Jesus. I think that Mary is a type of person that we're not familiar enough with. But it's really something that we have to try and discover in us so that we don't miss it. And when Martha's running around and she's getting frustrated, she goes directly to Jesus and listen to Jesus's response. We're picking it up in verse 41 and 42. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." Now, Jesus doesn't say that Martha is a bad person for doing all this, right? What he's saying is that his desire was not dinner. It was devotion. It was devotion. It was sitting there and being present. We have to examine our lives beyond the outward appearance, the busyness, and the distractions. Martha's day was filled with it, and they're good things, but she was missing out on the best things. How often does that happen to us? How often do we miss out? Ask yourself, what have I missed out on? I know I've missed out on things, and I think that we all have, but we don't have to because we're shown by Mary's example. So what I want to do is I want to give us some practical steps and some practical scripture so that we can be Mary's in a Martha world. Because Mary knew that the answer to purpose and to peace was found in Jesus, in his lessons, and in his teachings. So the first thing, number one, that I want to take away from this is that you are not condemned when you are in Christ Jesus. And I want to look at another scripture. I want to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." Now, Paul wrote this saying that our sin cannot keep us from eternal life when we've given ourselves to him. And when I think about this concept and this scripture, it makes me think of the life of Peter and the drastic contrast in the life of Peter. Because the same Peter whom the Lord said, "You are the rock I will build my church upon," is the same Peter that also denied knowing Jesus three times. What that tells us is that we are never beyond the reach of God's grace. And mothers, sometimes we feel like we are. And sometimes we may feel condemned. But we are not condemned by our messy homes. We are not condemned by our repeated failures as a mother. We are not condemned by our miscarriages. We are not condemned if we are divorced or unmarried and doing this alone. If you are in Christ, your identity as a sinner is replaced with the righteousness of Jesus. I would be willing to bet that Martha felt condemned. She felt condemned not being ready for Jesus, but Jesus did not condemn Martha for busying herself. He didn't reprimand her. He loved her, and he taught her through it, and that's what he wants for us. He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to give us grace and give us hope and teach us. Now, the second thing that I want to take away from this, number two, is our weaknesses are opportunities. As a type A perfectionist, this was hard to write and it's hard to read, but it's necessary for us. And I want to look at another scripture. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. What we see as weaknesses in our mothering, whatever they may be, they're different for all of us. Those are opportunities for Christ to come and show us his power, because Christ's strength will show itself through our weaknesses. For me, I struggle with patience. I struggle with patience in every aspect, but especially during this time with distance learning. My youngest is 5 years old, and while teaching him, he traced two circles, said that his hand hurt, and then pretended to pass out and wouldn't do school anymore. Alone, I do not have the patience to deal with that. I know that I need God in those moments. And when we do, when we ask God to give us that patience that we need, and I ask him to work through me, it makes a difference. It's a time to accept that we as humans constantly fall short, and we need God to make up for our shortcomings. I just attended an amazing conference digitally, of course, and I got to hear Nona Jones speak. Nona Jones is an amazing communicator. I love hearing from her. And what she said about weaknesses is something that I want to relay to you, because she said it so eloquently. She said, God doesn't get glory out of our strengths. God gets the glory for what we do in our weaknesses. It is in our weaknesses that we make room for his power to shine through. Martha's weakness in this scripture was an opportunity for Jesus to show her something that she needed to know, to show her where that path to peace was. Embrace your weaknesses as mothers, as people, as humans, because when we do, we become a beacon for God's power and light to shine through us. And it's in those moments that we can be made stronger. Now, the third thing I want us to take away from this is that to peace begins with Jesus. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, this is something that I think we can learn from Martha. Because when Martha was running around and getting frustrated because Mary wasn't helping and she was struggling, she went directly to Jesus. She said, this isn't fair. Tell her to help me. She was struggling. How often does that happen to us? How often does the enemy come in our minds and bring our frustrations to the surface, highlight our failures, make us feel less than? But Martha knew that in that moment of feeling less than and feeling overwhelmed, that she needed to go directly to the one person who could fix it and could give her that peace. Do we do that? Are we doing that? We need to pray. Rely on Jesus, not ourselves, because we cannot do it alone. And when we do that, we've opened ourselves up to his grace and his peace and the ability for that to wash over us? Will all of our problems and struggles be fixed in our way? Of course not. It wasn't for Martha. I don't think that's what she expected Jesus to say. It's not in our time. It's not in our way. It's in God's because it's perfect. But when we make the choice to give our shortcomings and our problems and our worry to God, we've turned them to his hands and started a way to an inner peace that we not only want, but we need as mothers. Now, the last thing that I want us to take from this, number four, is focus on what is best in the moment, not what is good. And I think that this is the hardest one. I think this is the one that is a daily struggle. And I want to look at a scripture, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This life here on earth is temporary. Are we in Christ? Are we seeking his wisdom so that we may know what is best and what is good? Because this story of Mary and Martha, it's not a story of serving being bad and sitting being good. It's a story about a much needed balance in our lives that we need and that we forget as people, but especially as mothers. Because I don't think we're faced every day with outright good and bad choices. Those are easy to make. But those everyday choices of what is best in the moment and what is good, those are hard. Those are hard to know what is best. Because Martha cooking dinner and completing tasks, those were good things. The Martha traits that we have are good traits. But Mary knew best in the moment. That the one thing to be concerned about was what Mary had already figured out, to sit, to listen, and to be present. Sometimes that means leaving the laundry in the dryer and playing a round of Candyland. Sometimes it means saving vacuuming for another day so that you can make a TikTok video with your teenager or figure out what TikTok is. It doesn't matter what the moment is. Just experience it. Live in it. Don't miss out on it. I do too often. I do. But I do remember when I was a new mom and my oldest, who was 8 years old, is 8 years old, was only a few months old, and it was his first feeding of the day. And I knew that I would feed him, and he would sleep for about an hour and a half so that I could start making my way through that checklist. But when I fed him and he was asleep in my arms, I was so content and I was so happy being there, and I soaked it up. In the quiet hours of the morning, I sat there as a new mom with my son. And I was there for about an hour. And then, I mean, when I finally took him to his room, I whacked his head on the end of a door jamb, and he woke up screaming, so of course I had to start all over. But that's not the point. The point is that it's 8 years later, and I still remember that moment. But for the life of me, I cannot remember what task was trying to pull me away from it. There is no blessing or reward in based on the earthly view of what is important. It is when we seek his kingdom that we find peace and purpose and the strength to reprioritize our lives, to spend time in the moments, not on the outside of them, trying to make them perfect. As women, as mothers, let's rise above all the noise and the distractions and the pursuits of this world and seek those that have eternal value. Does that even seem possible right now? What are you struggling with? Do you feel less than? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you need great power and strength to choose what is best and what is good in that moment? Whatever the problem is, God wants to take that worry and that guilt, and he wants to turn it into forgiveness. He wants to turn it into grace. So if you don't know that forgiveness, I pray that you ask to receive him today. And if you are a follower, but you feel alone and overwhelmed and scared and need help in this season, which I think a lot of us do, pray to him now. So let's pray. God, I ask you today to lead us from running our lives based on those earthly views and based on those earthly priorities. And I ask that we can turn our attention to those of eternal worth. We thank you for being our teacher and our rescuer and our comforter from everything in this earth and sometimes from ourselves. If someone is here and is praying and needing to receive you for the first time, I pray that they can cry out to you today. And if that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. So pray this with me. Father, I have tried to do this on my own, but I know that I can't. And I know I need help, and I know I need you. I need to be forgiven and start new. Father, I ask at this time to be forgiven of my sins. And in the best way that I know how, I turn my back on that life. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins that I may be made new again. And I ask you to come into my life now and to save me. Father, we pray for those that just prayed that prayer for the first time, that they now have a new life in Christ. And we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for that salvation. And right now, so many of us are struggling. We are overwhelmed, and we need you, God. We need your comfort and your peace that only you can provide. And I ask that we can find stillness in our days to ask for that and to receive that comfort that you're always there to provide, God. Thank you for being our way maker and our light in the darkness, God. And it is in Jesus' name we pray.